Welcome to the Owner to Owner podcast with your host, Jesse Tyler, part of the EO Podcast Network.
Welcome back to the Owner to Owner podcast. I'm your host, Jesse Tyler. We record the voices of ownership and share the insights from people not usually asked. That's the focus of this podcast. We're finishing our third season, over 60 episodes, and we're proud to have shared a lot of voices. We have a special episode today with three friends and teammates who are going to share their experience at their first National Center for Employee Ownership conference that we all attended together in Tampa, Florida. So, Melody Johnson, who are you and what do you do for Hypotherm Associates?
So I am a senior recruiter for Hypotherm Associates, and I look for talent to bring to our organization. But more than talent, I look for good people.
That's great. You're very good at it, and we appreciate that. Ali Echo, who are you and what do you do for Hypotherm Associates?
Yeah, so I have a dual role here. I'm a human resources director supporting engineering, and then I have the inclusion and diversity director role as well.
Very nice. Thank you for taking those both on and leading the way. Gabe Luke, who are you and what do you do for Hypotherm Associates?
Well, hello. My role as a member of the learning and development team in HR, my official title is program manager for organizational effectiveness. But for me, how I sum up my job is that I really believe I get to be an internal consultant for leaders and for teams to be fully present to help out with what needs are, whether or not it's development, communication, sometimes intervention, but all good. I appreciate the opportunity to get to work so closely with folks and that people trust and are vulnerable oftentimes with the work that I do across teams.
That's great. So variety of perspectives and tenure and experience in HR. Three of you got to go to your first conference. And for listeners, if you're not fully aware of all the acronyms, we want to be sensitive to that. So NCEO will be the acronym going forward for the National Center for Employee Ownership. They are one of the leading organizations to more of a think tank. They throw remarkable conferences, resources, teaching. So we want to support their work and amplify what was learned. So it's great to go to a conference. It's fantastic to be at a company that pays to join 1,900 and I think 15 other people that were being paid to be there. And one of the most important things we can do is bring it back and share it out. So that's the goal for our listeners. And we'll share this podcast internally for our different production workers and functional teams at Hypotherm Associates. So I'm going to jump right in we'll start with Melody and kind of work our way around. Melody, how was your first NCEO conference? What was that experience like for you?
It was pretty amazing. You know, you go in with these expectations and then you meet people and hear conversations and presentations and realize, wow, you know, so many people are doing this ownership in such unique ways. And how are they solving these issues and addressing these and tackling those? And you know, you come away with these ideas on how they can be implemented within our company, and it just kind of gives you hope and excitement.
That's great. That's great. Ali, what was your experience like for your first NCEO conference?
Yeah, so I thought it was fantastic as well. It was a really great experience. One thing that I really enjoyed as well is reading through all the different descriptions ahead of time of the different breakout sessions. It was such a variety in topics. Mm. Which I thought was really fascinating. I feel like most of my conferences are normally HR focused. So by seeing all of that and seeing the different crowds and to Melody's point around different perspectives, where they are in the process, getting different ideas of how to create an employee owned company, but also it's more about the culture as well. Mm-hmm. So that really lies true in all of the conversations, which I just value greatly.
That's great. Thanks for sharing that. Gabe, what are your thoughts?
Yeah, I will say my thinking dovetails with Ali's just there. I think for me, one of the powerful aspects of it is in every presentation, the why was present, that I so appreciated that folks made that part of the narrative. And I think that was part of the hook for me, too, that it really gave a full picture. And I will say it was a great experience for me in terms of both professional development personally, as well as exposure to the culture. I've only been at Hypotherm, it'll be coming up on 5 years, but I came from a completely different field. And so for me, it was a beautiful dive into corporate practice and corporate America and what ownership is and the contrast between why ownership is so valuable an investment, not only for the people working there, but for the organization as a whole. And that was really powerful for me. And I will add, it was quite moving to be there and to witness the organizations who were signing over and to really see that people took advantage of that environment to make their associates owners there too. So it was an honor and a privilege to be able to witness some of that work too.
Yeah, that's great. It was something, just to recap that for listeners, it was a real highlight, and it was amplified through the conference that the signing was there and that magic happened. And not something that you traditionally have witnesses for, and it can be just within that company. It can be a common part with employee owners that they know a lot about their own company, and it there's curiosity and surprise. But to see, to literally watch people become employee owners was a very special element for many of us to see that. So Gabe, kind of going forward, what are some of the ideas that you gained from this that you could see just bringing back and applying, or even, you know, new contacts you made, maybe you talked about, hey, we can bring this back and actually use it. What are some things that you took that you think you could apply?
Yeah, no, I appreciate it. I think I had the opportunity to go to a couple of sessions that focused on leadership development and leadership transition. And so I thought it was interesting to be able to witness others' journeys with that, and got a number of good resources in terms of, you know, even books, but also strategies. And I think the element that I really took away from it, though, as people are talking about leadership and organizations, is really getting it right-sized for the company and what the corporate culture is and needs, and really paying attention to that dynamic around skills building for leaders, that at leaders at different levels have different access, and whether or not it's about, you know, can I pull together and present well? You know, am I giving myself the time for the strategic thinking? And even more importantly, are the right stakeholders in the room from an ownership perspective when making decisions? And kind of linked to that, I will say a real aha moment for me. I had the opportunity to do some work in a session around diversity, equity, inclusion, and accessibility, was conversations about opportunity equity. And I think for me, that rang so important for us right now. And it sort of links into all of the four of our work, but particularly as we look at a time where we're watching headcount and paying attention to who do we have internally, and how do we give them the opportunities to develop and grow and take leadership in our organization?
That's great. That's great. So beyond the conference, because Melody is hiring our new senior leaders and working on that, and you and Allie work very closely, very intimately with our leaders and their teams. Gabe, first, then I'll go to Allie. Do you feel in this conversation that being a leader of any level at an employee-owned company is different than it might be in your prior work experience? Is it different to be a leader at an employee-owned company? And if so, how? Gabe, what do you think?
I think that there needs to be more of a presence and a flexibility in practice, if that makes sense, that, you know, our leaders need to be really agile, whether or not we're looking at kind of workforce challenges or whether or not we're looking at supply chain challenges. Right. And even in terms of how do I practice leadership with ownership in mind, and really being able to not only find that balance, but then also inspire others to step into both of these, even if their role isn't about being a leader. Because for me, I believe as an owner in our company, my responsibility is to practice leadership every day in my role.
That's great. Thank you for sharing that. Allie, so we're going to look for your ideas for sure, but let's pick up where with what Gabe had shared. Do you think that leadership is a different experience, needs to be different in an employee-owned company?
Yeah, I mean, I think she did a really great job, especially the last part is what I was thinking about, was how we're all owners and how do we bring that forth? And so how do we have a good understanding of what ownership really means, and how do we bring those values into day-to-day? And as leaders, we should all be doing that. And I think there is a little bit more accountability from that side, but honestly, every associate, I like how Gabe brought it up of like, even in her role, how she is still an associate owner, and she also is accountable for that. And she holds that, I think, holds a lot of value in that regard, which I think is really fantastic. And so I think there does need to be more around leadership, really understanding the true value of ownership. It's not just the shared rewards, which that's a great part of it, but that's not the only part. And so how do we continue to educate leaders from that side? And how do they also reinforce it and what this really means for every other associate owner here?
Yeah, that's great. Leading in an organization, you know, employee-owned companies of any format, we're an ESOP, tend to have much higher engagement. People have more psychological safety. The ideal is that we all do, but there tends to be, you know, ratings of higher psychological safety. So that can mean you've collected very bright, very intense, opinionated idea factories that can make for a very different leadership experience, and people that are more likely or potentially more comfortable or encouraged to challenge authority and ask the why, and is this the best interest of the business? And so it's interesting with the work that you both do to get your lens and your perspective on that. So the second part for you, Allie, is some ideas, sort of like Gabe had mentioned. What are some ideas that you thought you could bring back and use that stood out to you that you can share?
Yeah, well, kind of going off of what I was just saying, I think there should be a little bit more for leaders on what is ownership and how do we think about ownership. And I think there's been some nice work and some nice dialogue around this from that perspective, but how do we continue to further educate all of our associate owners on this and how they play a key role into that piece of it as well? And that came up in a couple sessions around ownership ideas, and it was just activities, but some do very specific targeted training for leaders. And then again, it's not just focused on the financial piece, but it's more about how they go and motivate and inspire their teams to bring forth ideas and do it in a way that really talks about the values of ownership. So I think there's more that we can do from that side. And I think there's a lot of like, how does this tie up from an entire company? So what is our business strategy? What's that mission? And what are we trying to achieve? And I think especially with, as an organization, talking about that triple bottom line, that's really important for us and making sure that all individuals understand what that means. And one session that I thought was really helpful is it talked about more on the financial side, but how every dollar saved, and this was generalizations, but every dollar saved from revenue and dropping it down to the net profit is only about 10 cents. And so that we have those additional costs in there, whether it's related to cost of goods sold or SG&A, but in general, it relates to 10 cents on a dollar and how we all impact that in the end, and really making sure there is that viewpoint as a total organization, because we're still here for a profit. But as associate owners, we're all responsible to making sure that we can improve that. One company talked about it in the sense of you are your CEO of your role in that regard. Nice. So like you are responsible. And they really, that's like every video they showed was like, no, you are responsible for what you do and your actions inside and outside of work and how it impacts the company. And so making sure there is that true tie-in from that perspective. And then what I really appreciated, especially with my dual role with inclusion and diversity, around the ownership values and how it really intertwines with diversity, equity, inclusion values. And it was something I've been thinking about, how they really do intertwine. And I thought the speakers did a fantastic job about really putting that together around how with employee ownership, you're trying to get how everyone kind of owns and speaks up and can contribute and that their voice matters. And with diversity, equity, inclusion, it is all about that all people matter. And we're trying to make sure we can bring people to the table, but also allow them to speak and share that space with those individuals and how it can really make us stronger as a total organization to do so.
That's great. Thank you for sharing that. It's one thing to have a broad statement of, you know, our voices matter and your voices matter, but then to really start to dig in, and some of the sessions that I saw that as well, is really looking to make sure that you systematize, you assert that all voices do get heard and are given that opportunity, and people really feel it as a way of working. So I appreciate your sharing that. So Melody, you've hired some of our thriving senior leaders. So I want to ask you the leadership question before I get your conference ideas. What are your thoughts on leadership being the same or different in an employee-owned, especially 100% employee-owned company?
So from my experience, it is definitely different because the leaders are caring about not only the company as a whole, the business, but the people within the business. And so there's that thought of how can you develop? How can you grow? And I always think about the story that Aaron Brandt shared during my cultural immersion, where he started off as an engineer. And when his leader sat down with him to talk about development, he said to Aaron, what do you want to do over the next 5 years? Where do you see yourself? And Aaron said, I want your job. And his leader, instead of saying, what? His leader said, okay, let's lay out a plan so that when I'm ready to move on, there's that pathway for you. And that to me is what leadership is in an employee-owned company, is really thinking about how our people can grow and be better. Better not only at what they do now, but where do they see themselves growing into and how do we foster that? And so I've seen that here at Hypertherm over and over again. And at the conference, what I really got was the culture. How do we create the culture that allows for that for everyone, not just for a few, but for everyone? And as a matrix organization that we are, it allows people to move into different areas. You don't have to stay within your own, you know, pod. You can actually grow into other areas of the business, learn new skills. And I think the other piece, and I agree with Allie and Gabe, because of what they shared, and to dovetail off of what Allie was sharing, I was in that same seminar with her where they presented about how people can be their own CEOs and what they did. And one of the my aha moment was they did this exercise where they said, okay, everyone close your eyes and point due north. So everyone had to point due north, and then we opened our eyes and everyone was pointing in a different direction. And so it was one of those moments where, you know, say to your people, okay, we all need to get on. We all know north, but what is north for us? And yeah, we all need to be pointing in the same direction. And so it was one of those moments where it's like, oh my gosh, it's something so simple to allow us to all see clearly what's our vision. How do we want to get there as a company? What's our culture? How do we care about one another? And how do we show up for one another? And I that was very, you know, vibrant to me. And that's what I think leadership is for an employee ownership. It is really just helping others to see how we can all grow in the same direction, but being individuals.
That's great. That's great. I appreciate it. Yeah, you shared that North exercise and I walked into a group session and I used it. Like I just thought that was delightful. I missed it at the conference and I walked out of our conversation and walked into a room and you probably heard laughter upstairs at your desk when people opened their eyes and looked around. It's like, you know, we need to be all in the same direction. So it's, I can attest to our listeners from Melody's favorite exercise that it went over very well and really, you know, was very supportive to the point being made. So I appreciate your sharing that. So what are some of the favorite parts of the conference? So Allie, what was your favorite part of the conference? If you just picked, you know, these are a few of my favorite things sort of idea, but if you just pick one and you can stretch it, if you can't resist adding a couple, but if you said, all right, somebody going to do an ownership conference, an NCO conference, this is what really jumped out to me.
Yeah. What I'll say to that, I'll try to keep it to one-ish, is it's hard sometimes. It was so, the layer around culture is so important. And why that resonates with me as I think about other companies I've been with, it was not employee-owned company. So I think there is such a different value that I get out of an experience here. And this is something that I deeply value. This is what I want in a company from that perspective. And so having that layered into all of the conversations, basically, and how do you involve everyone into that? Mm-hmm. And that we all play a role. And one of the comments that was made that resonated with me was, we're part of this world and how do we want to engage in it? Mm-hmm. And so if I also think about it of like, we're part of this company, how do we want to engage in it? And so as I'm thinking about that, of like, how do we want this culture to be? And how do we continue to reinforce that? And ownership creates those values. And I think our core values from our company also just completely go into two of those. So like, for me, there's so much value in that piece of it. So it really resonated with me. So it's kind of my favorite from that perspective, because personally, that's what I really want out of an organization.
That's great. And talking to now over 17 years, literally thousands of people about ownership and what it means to them, and asking, that's the big question on ownership. What does it mean to you? And I think that it's really coming back to is we earn shares in the company the senior leaders run, and the culture is largely up to us. And it's a daily living, beautiful, thriving, or needing attention, kind of a living thing. And it's really up to all of the people participating that we can make this a little better tomorrow. We can maybe take our eyes off of it and need to refocus, but the culture really comes down to the daily experience and how we want to nurture that and step up and pause and say, you know, and this, like we're doing in internally, which is, you know, I think coming from senior leadership and our internal communications, but, you know, this is a time where we need to really stop and ask each other, how are you doing? That is culture. I'm not doing well at all. I'm here for you. And that is culture. It's not always the cheering and the celebration. It's often when people talk about ownership culture, both in our company and others, they go to the hardest times where people stuck together and they got through it. It's less obvious to talk about the boom times or the celebrations. Gabe, what was a favorite one-ish, to borrow from Allie, one-ish thing from the conference that you'd want to share out?
This is somewhat self-serving, but I will say I was quite proud to be able to be an ambassador for our organization and to represent our work and to work together as a team. And two glimpses of that for me is Jesse and I had the privilege of presenting together and 100 plus people showed up. And so we had to practice some Hypertherm core values and competencies of flexibility and agility. And it was really fun and very engaging for folks. And we got a lot of great resources and comments from folks that participated in that. But the second, and I will say that it is a privilege, and it was definitely a transformative experience for me to serve on a panel to talk about connecting with our global associates and creating a culture of ownership for people around the world. And let me say, it was a powerful preparation experience for me, as well as a delivery experience, because we are doing some best practice in that area in comparison to some others. And even down to language and not referring to our global associations as those foreign employees. So I had some pretty powerful conversations, but I think it definitely reflected who we are as an organization and what we value in each other's work. And so, again, an honor to be an ambassador of Hypertherm and represent our work.
Yeah, that's great. I like that with the ambassador. I think that'll resonate for the listeners. You know, on people's first day, I say, you know, we share a lot of information and we want you to take that to heart that we're trusting you with it. So we want you to picture the 2,000 rest of us standing behind you smiling, and we want to remain smiling because of your great choices. But then is it, you know, to be able to be, to go as an ambassador, as you're describing it, it's a really good, you know, it's a special feeling. And that was definitely shared by other people there, that they were super proud to be the face and voice and ideas of their brand and their company. So thanks for sharing that. Melody, you kind of worked in a favorite thing. So I want to come around to see if you had another favorite thing from the conference before we look forward to what I'm going to ask you all next is sort of, what have you been thinking about since? But Melody, is there anything else from your favorites from the conference that you want to share?
Thanks, Jesse. I wanted to say that I totally agree with Allie and Gabe on what they shared. Culture came out very high, and a culture of feedback. And one of the seminars that I attended, they really talked about feedback as a gift. And I thought of that as, you know, lots of us, when someone says, can I speak to you? I have some feedback. And all of a sudden it's like, oh gosh, no, I don't want to hear this. But as a gift, so that we can continue to grow. And so I think about our culture and how we engage one another and want each other to grow. And so can we adopt that image of it being a gift? And so that was something that I took from that.
That's fantastic. Thank you. Yeah. And with all the interviewing and hiring, you know, I always ask during a career development workshop is if you've gotten feedback when you didn't get the job, have you asked to go back in a month or two and check in on progress? And it's very interesting to see folks realize, you know, one, understand that they can, but then a smaller subset that do. And those generally, I'm generalizing, but the people I've seen Zoom ahead are the ones that will take it. So I like your language, and I'll use that actually tomorrow night when I teach a career development class. Like, I'll rephrase it to the way you described, because I think it's an absolutely wonderful way to do that. So I wanted to kind of the last stop is, you know, what you've been thinking about since relating to the conference. And then I want to finish with an EO aha moment if you've had it. So in the rest of our conversation. So the question for you about what have you been thinking about since, if you've had something on mind, I'll share personally, this episode is about you, but I was really struck by Jennifer Briggs had her own comment of accomplishment, not work, builds dignity. But then she also shared a quote from a poet, Hasef, the words we speak build the house that we live in. And I just keep thinking about it. It's changed some interactions at work. It's impacted me and my at home with my wonderful family. It's made some good moments better and helped with presence. So I've just been really, you know, I'm in my 50s and I've lived a full life, and the aha moments maybe don't pop up as often. And it was just one of those things that I was thinking about it this morning before we got together for this call. So that was something that is broader than something specific about ownership, but I was really impacted. You know, the words we speak build the house that we live in. So I'm wondering, from a personal experience or ownership content, kind of opening it up, you know, what have you been thinking about since, Melody? If you have a thought you could share, and we'll go around to Allie and Gabe.
Sure, thank you. So I've been thinking about the 5-year plan. So in one of the seminars we were in, there was a video of a woman who was their maintenance person, and she learned of the 5-year plan of the company, and she saved the company money by what she did, but she put it into her own life. And she paid off her home within 5 years. And I thought of that 5-year plan and I thought, okay, not only for Hypertherm, but how do I put that into my own life? How do I look at things in more of a, I'm going to say, global perspective, and then pull it back to day to day? How do I make a difference each day in order to achieve that goal? And so that really resonated with me amongst a number of other things, but that was a big takeaway.
That's great. That's great. Thanks for sharing that. Allie, what have you been thinking about since the conference?
Yeah, and I'll just make a comment. I love that video as well, because I know we've had some folks do that as well. And I think it's so great of you can kind of, you take control because you have more information and you really want to make sure that you set yourself up for long-term success as well. So being debt-free is one of those ways. And that was just a really cool way of doing that. I'll go back to the comment and then I'll explain a little bit, but the comment around we're part of this world and how do we want to engage in it, in the sense of like, so now I keep thinking about in different parts of my life, how do I want to engage with it? How do I want to experience this? And I think in some aspects around, you know, what can I control? What do I want it to be, and how do I play a role in that piece of it? And so looking at it from that side and just kind of reflecting a little bit on my personal and professional life, but it made me think a little bit more about how we talk to all associates and how do we participate in this workforce. I mean, it's interesting. You kind of get thrown into a location with a bunch of other people and you make it work. So, and how do you do that? How do you connect with people? And how do you really understand of what's the value of you being there? And there is so much value in all of our associate owners. And so how do we get the most value out of those individuals? And I think tying it back into like making sure that we all have that connection to what's our mission.
That's great. That's great. Thank you for sharing that. Gabe, what have you been thinking about since the conference?
I have to say my hangover from the conference really is about, and it ties into some of this, but financial literacy. You know, like, do our associates know how stocks work? You know, I appreciate some of the work that we've already begun doing around helping people with this, but it was profound for me to think about, you know, how open book and transparent we are with those quarterly reports. I so appreciate them. But then at the same time, does everyone in our organization, regardless of education level, place in the world, first language, do they understand what that means and what the difference is for us and for our families and for our communities because of Hypertherm's presence and work and products and profits too? So I think for me, I'm still kind of mulling over like what more could we be doing around financial literacy globally for our associates?
Yeah, that's great. And it's a growing topic in the EO community. You know, and the way I look at it is potentially maybe direct, very direct and blunt. But if we're talking about stocks and shares and the person doesn't know what those are, then we need to check ourselves to make sure, because maybe they haven't had exposure to that. And we can't teach them about our shared company to an effective level if we haven't slowed down to help. It's incredibly empowering when somebody can make the most of the money they earn right now, particularly in these inflationary times. Are they able to negotiate, you know, it's cold where Hypertherm is in New Hampshire, half the year it's winter, our heating bills are a big deal. Can they negotiate in a fuel club? How do they get a lower rate on their car? You know, what are those considerations, you know, housing and all of those other challenges? It's greatly empowering to say, like, somebody help me make the most of what I have now. And now I have a plan, maybe to leap ahead to Melody's example earlier, as somebody paying off their house in 5 years. That's the ideal. But the financial literacy, I believe passionately, there's an opportunity to back up and then back up more and just say, okay, what do we have as a baseline of understanding? Because we have some awesome building we can do from there, but you can't build the second floor first. You got to get the basement in and then build the first floor. So I appreciate you sharing that. So last thoughts, have any of you had an EO aha moment? So it's not when you first heard about ownership, but we like to ask our guests if you've had a moment that you're willing to share that you feel it's going to be a game changer, it's going to be something bigger and meaningful. Have any of you had an EO aha moment? And if so, would you share it?
I don't know if this fits, but I really think about kind of my work and presence for other associates. And, you know, I've really been working on what is the innovative investment that I can make in others. And a great example for me was I had the privilege of being at HQ last week and doing some work for folks in our emerging and our leadership development program, and literally asked them, what are the things that you want and you need to be on the schedule? You know, and being able to have that dialogue. And then it kind of ratcheted me up to that thinking. And it ties into something I got exposed to at the conference of, like, who's on our board? You know, who goes to those meetings? Like, does our board actually get exposure to broader associates when making decisions and understanding that? And do our associates understand, like, who's on our board and how it's working for them? So it sort of cascaded for me. Not only how does my work matter and show up, but also at our most senior level, how does their work matter and show up for people?
Yeah, that's great. Thanks for sharing. Melody, do you have a thought you wanted to share?
For me, we're a team. It's not an individual that makes all the difference in the company. In my work in recruiting, it's a team effort. We all work together to best understand what it is that we're seeking, as well as what the people who we interview have to offer. And it's not just their skills and abilities, but it's who they are and what they personally bring to the table. And it makes a difference in our organization as to who shows up and how they show up.
That's great. Thank you. Allie, any thoughts before we go?
Yeah, there was kind of going off of that of, like, so how do you show up and how are you constantly encouraged to think a little bit differently about how you can do your job differently today and how it can be improved for the other people around you? And I feel like there's quite a bit of that kind of naturally exists, but there's always room for improvement, right? That's part of our continuous improvement culture. And I liked what company talked about it is they also focus on that strategic agility for all associates and having really, like, building that out. And, you know, if they have external interests, they actually work with them on some potential investors. So they do, like, a Shark Tank thing, like, once or twice a year, and they get outside investors, but they help them build out, like, what is a return on investment? What does a market analysis look like? And so you start to educate those individuals and stuff that they really enjoy or are passionate about, but it pulls back into what their job is today. It doesn't matter what you're doing, but it's all about what is our company looking to do and how are we operating. So you learn some additional knowledge from that side. And I thought that was just really an interesting approach.
That's great. I appreciate that from all three of you. So a moment for any last comment. Is there anything that you wanted to share today with our listeners that we did not get to?
I will say I appreciate it. Alluded to this on both the opportunity to represent our organization, but then also the investment in my professional development by giving me this opportunity to attend the conference, but also to serve on the ownership team. It really is for me, like, that's the intersection for me where I am much more attuned to who we are globally because of the intentional recruitment of different regions and different parts of the company to sit on that team.
That's great. That's great. I appreciate it. Well, I think that's a good place to end. You all have a meeting coming up, and I need to wrap this up so you can go do your great work. So I appreciate Melody, Allie, and Gabe taking some time to reflect on their first NCEO conference experience. And I'd like to close out thanking our listeners. We'll try to amplify the voices you don't always hear. Ownership is personal, and getting people to talk about their experience and their view can help make it more real, easier to talk about for somebody else, whether they're new to it or they've been an owner for a long time and they're taking a fresh perspective. So thank you to the listeners of the Owner to Owner podcast. We do this for Brett Kiesling and the EO Podcast Network to amplify the voices of ownership. I'd like to finish direct your work in HR with an ownership mindset, recruit with an ownership mindset, guide teams and develop leaders with an ownership mindset. And whenever you can, ownership expands beyond please buy employee owned, whether that's from an ESOP or a trust or at your local food co-op. So thanks to listeners. We'll talk to you again soon on another episode.
We'd love to hear from you. You can find us on Facebook at EO Podcast Network and on Twitter at ESOP Podcast. This podcast has been produced by Brett Kiesling for the EO Podcast Network. Original music composed by Max Kiesling. Branding and marketing by Bitsy Plus Design. And I'm Bitsy McCann.